8 seconds here. And Melbourne in their losses are going to score 56 points, 55 points, 50 and 50. They cannot score. Sydney win. At the moment, it's 38 points. Longmire is happy. And Kennedy just wants to finish it off. Fairway out. Right on 50, Kennedy. Won't be a goal and won't be a score, I wouldn't have thought, from there. So Sydney by 38 points in front of 27,000 people here tonight have done it in a canter.
Another round of footy and another win to the Sydney Swans. This is Swanscast. My name is Liam Flanagan. Joining me as always, Luke McManus. Luke, how are you, bud?
Morning, Flanners. How are you, mate?
Mate, very well, very well. Can't complain as we look outside. The sun is shining and the Swans, we've come off another fantastic win down in Melbourne.
Back on the winners list. And I was there front and centre to what was a superb opening half. The fizz out of the game, obviously. The fizz in the game obviously went out of the game in the second half. But the Swans got the job done and that's all that counts.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you're a Melbourne boy originally, Luke.
Yes, I am.
But you're down at the home of football.
Back at the G. My first time covering a Swans game at the G, and boy, do they look after you there.
What's the reception like for the Swans at the MCG?
It's quite cool. There's some South Melbourne supporters from back in the day and have obviously jumped on the Swans and keep, I suppose, the support going
from
down in Melbourne, which is important. Because when we do go down to the G, we always want a vocal crowd.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, look, you, as I said, you're a Melbourne boy originally. You were back home for the weekend. Another lad who is a Melbourne boy originally is Reece Shaw. And last week, Jeremy Laidler was our guest on Swanscast, and he nominated
his fellow backman. Geez, they like dobbing in their fellow backman.
They stick pretty fat, the back six at the Sydney Swans. I'm sure they do at all clubs, but particularly at the Sydney Swans, those defenders like to hang it on one another. So, Reece Shaw, he was our guest on the Swanscast today, and you caught up with him earlier today.
So I'm here with veteran Swan, Reece Shaw. Now, mate, your 15th season entering into. You're now veteran status. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really old, mate. Some of these guys were just born when I started playing, but yeah, it's still good fun. I still love playing, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so you can see your career continuing beyond this year, or is that something that you've going to think about later?
Yeah, I'll just think about it at the end of the year, mate. I'm enjoying my footy at the moment, enjoying playing in a good team, and that's where it stands. I don't really think too far ahead. I think week to week, so.
Yep. Yeah. Mate, you've obviously become one of the more integral parts of that Swans back six, alongside, obviously, Teddy Richards and Heath Grundy. Yep. The newer guys that have come through, Dane Rampey, Nick Smith. Mm-hmm. What do these guys add to that back six?
Yeah, look, I think, well, Nick's been around a fair while as well, but, it's good to see Ramps and Gary Rowan and Lewis Jetta. He's been down there a little bit. It's good to get that guys some experience down there. Like today's footy is all about versatility and playing different positions. And those guys have come in and played roles for us this year, and probably will in the future as well. It's really good to get new faces down there. And Rams has done really well coming in for taking over AJ's spot, and he's really exceeded all expectations, and he's become really an integral part of our back six and playing some really good footy.
Now, you talk about AJ. Yep. You talk about, speaking of obviously Jeremy Laidler and Ted Richards earlier, in Swanscast, they talk about how close you are, not just on field but off field. Do you hang around together? Do you catch up outside of football?
I'm pretty close with AJ. Just the way he came into the team, and he's a ripper fella, and we all care about him a lot, and we want him to come back as soon as possible, and we know it's been a real struggle for him, but he's on his way back now, so that's a real good thing. But look, we are pretty close. We're all different blokes. There's a few different units in the back line. Teddy's different to me, and I'm different to the big truck, Reggie, and old Smudgy Smooch. He's different as well. So it's a good mix, and Ramps is right out there. So it's right nah, it's a bit of fun, but we're really tight on the field, and we know each other's games really well, and we know what to expect from each other. And the boys tend to play to their strengths every week, and that's probably why we're such a good unit.
Just one more on AJ. How much inspiration do you get from how he's going about it?
Yeah, look, he's at a really tough time. But the way he presents himself for rehab is just amazing. And the way he pushes through all the adversity and all the bad news that he's gotten over the last 3 years, it's something that we're just really amazed at how he gets through the day, really. Let alone getting through the months and years that he's gone through. So, look, we're all behind him, and he knows that, and we all care about him, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it all goes well from here on.
Yep. Just on last week's game, mate, the D's, obviously, you started strongly.
Yep.
To be in such a comfortable position at half-time, nice change of pace from previous weeks where we haven't got off to the best start.
Yeah, look, that was really important for us to get a good start, and we did start well. We played probably a little bit patchy in the second half, but I thought our intensity and our willingness to stay in the contest was really good, and it's another step up again this week against the Cats, who are up and about and flying. Watched them against Collingwood last week, and their first half was really good. So we know we're up for it again this week, and it's another challenge, and hopefully we can take another step from against the Dees.
You talk about the modern footballer. You've been around now for, what is this year, your 15th season. Talk about the modern player, how versatile they have to be. Is that one of the main changes in the game you've seen over your time?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're pretty much plugged as a midfielder or a forward or a back in the day, and now you have to be a bit versatile to play and like get a game in the team. So look, I haven't done much else than defend, but I know at times I've got to go to the midfield and even pinch it up forward if needed. But a lot of guys, the young guys, they're so athletic and tall, and they can run and they can do everything. So I think the game's heading that way, where you do have to play forward, do have to play in the midfield and back sometimes.
Yep. Are you happy with your own form and how you're tracking?
Yeah, look, I'm plugging away at the moment. Trying to play my role as best I can. I've had a few up and down games, but try to stay as consistent as I can. And look, I'm just happy to be playing in a really good team, and hopefully win more games coming ahead in the future. So I don't really worry too much about my own form. If it dips, I get a bit worried, but I just want to play my role as best I can.
And I think that's what the attitude is for a lot of these, for a lot of the guys in the Swans team. It's just about playing your role and the best you can. Is that the main focus for a lot of these guys?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not going to be your week. Like, it's, you're just going to have to play your role, and you might not get a lot of the footy, but that doesn't really matter. Some of the other guys pick up the slack. Like Hannah's, his early form has been sensational, but on the weekend he got tagged pretty heavily, so it was really hard for him, but he still played his role, and he was really integral in the way we went about things. So that's just going to happen these days. Yep.
Obviously, you've been in Sydney for a little bit now, and you welcomed, obviously, recently your brother up here. What's Heath been like to be in the same city again?
Yeah, look, it's good. I think we spent most of our lives together. We lived together all the way up until I left to come up here, and it's good to see him up here, really happy and enjoying his footy. They're doing really well at the moment. But yeah, he seems like he's really happy up here, and he's got 3 more years, I think, up here as well. So don't know if he'll see me out with those hips he's got, but he's going to have a bit of fun with that team, I think.
Do you hang out outside of football?
Yeah, look, he comes over my joint every 2 days, I think. Raise the fridge and plays with my little son Freddie, who's just come into the world, so it's really good. It's a good time.
you talk about you're enjoying your football. Yep. Has that element kind of made it a little bit more enjoyable having, you know, your brother up here?
Yeah, I think so. He's my best mate. And that's a really good thing that he's up here, and he doesn't really talk too much about footy outside of the footy club, and that's a good thing for me. I'm a bit of a worrier about footy stuff, but it's really good to have his have him up here, and it's good for our family as well.
And yourself, mate, what do you get up to outside of football? Obviously, you've got the family here, yep. And what is outside of football? What do you do?
Outside of footy, when I get away from the footy club, is mainly recovering for the next session. Really, it's got to that point. I think I spent a lot of time with the physios on my days off, but no, I just hang around with my family pretty much. I don't get up to too much. I'm a pretty quiet bloke outside of the footy club. Like to have a good sleep in if I can, but that's not happening anymore. But yeah, I just hang around with my brother and my family, and that's about it.
Yeah, I suppose you got a great bloodline there. Obviously, the Shaws are a famous name around the AFL draft. So do you get on the phone to Uncle Tone or?
Not so often. I hear his comments about me on the TV when I'm watching me tape. But we're a pretty close family anyway. We catch up as much as we possibly can. It's a bit harder now that we're in Sydney. But look, Dad watches every game. He's very supportive. He doesn't really critique my game too much, which is really good.
At the end of when we catch up with the boys, we like to test your knowledge of your teammates. So we've got a series of questions, and each question gives you a further clue into who this player is. A couple of weeks ago, Harry Cunningham guessed it at one, and that was Reg Grundy.
Yeah.
So here we go. Born 27th of December 1991. How are you with birthdays?
Gary Rowan?
Not Gary Rowan. Second question. I played my junior football for the Wangaratta Rovers.
Is it Harry Cunningham?
No. Question three. I was drafted by the Swans from the Murray Bush Rangers. Sicking long and hard about this one.
26.
He wants this.
There's no time limit, is there?
No.
You're out of Rovers. Can I get some names?
No Googling. He just whipped out his phone.
Next question.
I made my Swans debut in round 22, 2010, against the Brisbane Lions.
2010. I can't remember yesterday.
Heads in hands.
Oh.
The next one might give it away.
Yeah, well, give it to me.
Along with my brother, I am the third generation of my family to play in the AFL.
What?
He has a brother at another club. Your former club.
I'm having mental blanks here.
I don't think you would play with him either, to be honest.
Oh, Reedy.
Yeah, Reedy. He's got it.
It's terrible.
Ben Reed.
Terrible.
Sam Reed, sorry. Ben Reed's
terrible.
Brother. Sam Reed. The last question. In 2015, I've made the move from the forward line to the back line and was a spark in the Swans.
Sorry,
ultimately
Reedy.
Unsuccessful comeback against the Fremantle Dogs in round 4.
Sorry, mate.
Well, mate, that concludes it. Bad luck in the Who Am I, mate. You got there in the end. Now, your turn to put someone under the microscope, mate. Who's it going to be?
I'm going to put Milky Jones.
Milky Jones?
Under the microscope.
Zach Jones?
Yep.
Zach Jones, mate, you're up next week. catch you then. But yeah, Reece, thank you very much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. And good luck against the Cats this weekend.
Thanks, mate.
So round six done and dusted. And as we mentioned a bit earlier on, another win to the Sydney Swans. They ran out 12-16-88. Winners over the Melbourne Demons 7-8-50. So 38-point win. You mentioned that the Fizz went out of the game by about halftime. The boys had got the job done in that first half.
Yeah, they did. And the credit to the Demons, they really, I suppose, stuck it to the Swans in the second half. The Swans did well to kind of hang in there and make it still a convincing win and a comfortable win at that. I was lucky enough to catch up with Dane Rampey and Gary Rowan in the rooms afterwards. You can catch that video on sydneyswans.com.au.
Some positives and some negatives come out of the game. You mentioned that, you know, the boys perhaps fell away slightly in the second half of the game, but also a couple of injury concerns. Isaac Heaney, obviously young gun, first year at the Sydney Swans, already had the Rising Star nomination. Knee injury, bit of a knee concern for young Heaney, and I believe the announcement's come out that it could be up to 6 weeks on the sidelines for young Isaac.
Yeah, it's a PCL injury. It was confirmed.
Posterior cruciate ligament, for those unfamiliar with the abbreviations, but continue on, Luke.
That was first suspected by club doctors and echoed by John Longmire in the press conference post-match. That was confirmed yesterday when Isaac went into scans. He looked a bit proppy around the club yesterday, walking pretty slowly. He had the compression bandage on the knee, but he was in high spirits because originally he thought he did his ACL.
Risk of an ACL, and that's a season gone.
Yeah, and that would have scared the living daylights out of
him. Absolutely.
And he did look a shattered man on the bench, but thankfully, and I say thankfully because it could have been a lot worse, 6 weeks. And he should be back fit and fired up.
Absolutely. In his return game. And look, the Swans docs and the rehab staff are the best in the business. So confident that Isaac, and he doesn't look like the sort of bloke who would shirk the hard work. I imagine that, particularly being a youngster, he would be keen to get back on the park as quick as possible. Having said that, I'm sure the medical staff will make sure that he takes the appropriate amount of time. But look, you know, it's something you never wish upon a young footballer is any sort of knee injury. We never like to see them, not just at the Swans, but across the competition. And thankfully, this one isn't as bad, as you mentioned, as it could have been. But we wish all the best to Isaac in his recovery, and we hope to see him back on deck for the senior side in 6 weeks' time. A couple of other little injury concerns to Jake Lloyd. I believe he had a slight ankle concern, and Dan Hannabury as well at one point. He came hobbling off the ground with a left ankle, but just sort of minor little abrasions, nothing too serious there.
Those players are expected to train on Thursday. He actually came into the office yesterday. His ankle was very swollen. It was all bandaged up, but it was walking around and he doesn't seem too concerned about it. So they're expected to train on Thursday. I suppose stay tuned to the selection table and we'll bring you the latest as it drops.
Fantastic.
Whether those players will line up for the Swans on Saturday against Geelong.
Good result. So let's get to some of the better players, better performances from the game against the Demons. I've got to start with my man Big Tippo. He had, you know, sometimes he gets lost in the spotlight of Buddy a bit down forward. They are the twin towers in attack for the Swans, but sometimes Kurt can just sit back in the shadows a little bit, but he exploded out of the box on the weekend, had three early goals, finished with four in the end, and was a leading light up forward for the Sydney Swans, particularly given the relative quietness of Buddy. He was playing against Tom McDonald, a young defender from the Melbourne Demons, who's had a cracking start to the year, and he did a pretty good job on Big Bud.
Yeah, he did. Buddy still collected something like 20-something disposals, so he worked hard up the ground, got the ball further up the ground that he probably would have liked, because we all know how much he likes kicking a goal. But as Buddy was doing that, Tippo was down forward. I think he had three goals with his first three kicks of the game. Started on fire.
Josh Kennedy, 31 disposals, two goals.
Eight tackles.
And a big smile across his face the whole game.
Yeah.
He looked like he was having an absolute ball.
It's amazing what fatherhood does to you. Just a little bit of a spring in the
little
step.
Little Emilio.
For Joshy. What a game. What a game from Josh. I mean, Yeah, we always talk about how Hannes has started, Dan Hannanbury, but Kennedy just keeps getting the job done. And I mean, if one midfielder has a quieter game than the others, you know, one steps up. Like, it's just that's the beauty of the Swans midfield right now, is each one of those players in there can have just this outstanding game that just spearheads the the result.
Yeah, absolutely. You reckon Melbourne coach Paul Ruse might be getting the video of Josh Kennedy's efforts and showing it to a couple of his developing on balls and saying, this is the AFL standard. This is what the top of the tree looks like. So great effort there by JK. But another young midfielder, you mentioned the spread across the Sydney Swans on ball group, Tom Mitchell. 27 disposals, just carried on from where he left off last week against the Bulldogs. In some people's eyes, was the best on ground for the Swans.
He's had more possessions than any other Swan in the last fortnight. So, I mean, talking about a kid that's taking his opportunity, he's such a great kid around the club. Out of everyone, I've talked to him more times than anyone else.
Now, hold on, you say he's talked to him. Where is he, mate? If he's, it sounds like Luke's got a bit of a bromance going on with Tom Mitchell here. Luke, where is he, mate? We're sitting here. There's an empty chair. It's an open door policy here in Swanscast.
He hasn't been nominated yet.
All right. Okay. Well, look.
He's too busy getting the footy.
Well, hey, Tom, if you're listening, don't wait to be nominated, mate. If you want to drop by the Swanscast studio and come and have a chat with Luke and myself, the door is always open. Time to get to Horses Heroes, Luke. Now, I mentioned Buddy. I want to give him a vote. He didn't. He was held goalless by Tom McDonald. You got to take your cap off to the young Melbourne defender for keeping Lance off the score sheet. But there was a moment that I wanted to give him a vote for in particular. It was late in the fourth term. He hasn't kicked a goal. Now, he's the reigning Coleman medalist of the AFL. And he hasn't kicked a goal all day. His team's on top. He takes a mark just inside the 50-metre arc. Well within his range. And instead of going back and slotting and getting himself on the goal sheet, he sees out the corner of his eye Ted Richards come herring down the outer side of the MCG.
Was he lost,
I Ted? Think he was a little bit lost. the compass and map might have been slightly off kilter. He thought he must have been pushing back in defence. Herring down the outer side of the MCG, pushing deep into the forward 50, and Buddy has just popped the kick over to him and said, here you go, Ted, you have a crack at the goals. You have a crack at the big stick. Now, of course, Ted missed the goal, but that's not the point. It was the selflessness of Lance Franklin he obviously thought Ted was in a better position. It wouldn't have been out of sympathy. I reckon he genuinely thought Ted was slightly closer to goal and in a better position. And he passed that ball off. So I want to give Buddy a vote purely for that act alone.
We could give, when Buddy kicks goals, everyone loves it, but they seem to forget as well that Buddy's ability up the ground is something spectacular as well. You know how agile he is. He's great below his knees. So his impact further up the ground is just as good as him kicking four or five goals.
Inside the 50-metre arc.
Yes, exactly. And, yeah, so for that reason, I agree with that. Ooh. So
we're giving Bud a vote. We're giving Bud a vote. Okay, well, we've got four more to dish out. Where did you see a vote going, mate?
Obviously, Tippo, four goals, three with his first three kicks of the game. I would have given him a vote just on the back of that.
Yeah.
if he didn't get a kick for the rest of the game, I still would have given him a vote. Three kicks, three goals to just give us that exciting start, good start that we needed and that we've been searching for.
Mm-hmm.
I've
got Tippo down for a vote on my sheet as well, so I'd like to give Tippo a vote, which leaves us with three votes. Now, the dilemma we're in is that we had two very honest, hard-working performances from a couple of on-balls on the weekend. We've got three votes left. I'm talking about Tom Mitchell and Josh Kennedy. Where did you see that? How do you see the votes being split between those boys? I don't think we can give half votes on Horses Heroes.
Nah, full votes or nothing. Joshy, two votes. It was such a rounded performance. And I think I'm going to give him the extra vote over Tom Mitchell, just on the basis of his just amazing goal, the one of two goals that he kicks for the night, how he got the ball and literally just shrugged off two or three Melbourne players, kept running, didn't give up, didn't try and dish off the ball. He said, I can get through here. Just opens the door through the arc and goes bang. Yeah. And didn't the boys get around?
Oh, they got around. I reckon Dom Tyson of the Melbourne Demons, formerly of the GWS Giants, might look back on that one with a bit of a red face in the Demons review after that game. He had Joey wrapped up in a tackle and just seemed to not let him go, but, you know, perhaps didn't apply the necessary pressure to stop Joey Kennedy that you do.
It goes to show how much lower body strength and keeping your feet in a contest, how important that is, because, you know, goals can come about, and Kennedy proved that.
So, as we look at the final tally for this week's Horses Heroes for the Round 6 clash against the Melbourne Demons, we have one vote to Lance Franklin, one vote to Kurt Tippett, one vote to Tom Mitchell, and two votes going to the new dad, Josh Kennedy. So, well done to all those boys.
The Sydney Swans had commitments back in Sydney on Saturday, and that was through the NEAFL. The Sydney Reserves fell by 7 points to the UWS Giants, which is a massive improvement on the last game that they played, which was only about 4 weeks ago. So we played the Giants, our crosstown rivals. The final scores there, 12-16-88 to 12-9-81. Two players to note who played in that game. Harry Cunningham collected 25 disposals in a great performance. And Dean Towers, obviously a couple of senior listed Swans who have featured in the top grade of late. But due to our small injury list, they've posed a few problems for the selectors. Yeah. Harry Cunningham, Dean Towers playing in the NEAFL this week. Details, 15 disposals and two goals. A couple other players to come back was Lewis Melikin for his first competitive hit out this year, mm-hmm. Or for his first game this year. Key defender, played about 60 minutes. And Alir, who looked superb, almost got the BOG honours in the opening round of the NEAFL mm-hmm. against Ainslie. He copped a PCL injury late in the game. So he sat out the last 3 weeks. And he came back and played, and I think on 80 minutes as well. So good to see those boys back there.
Encouraging signs for Isaac Heaney.
Absolutely. Who,
a fellow PCL injury sufferer. Perhaps, you know, can have a bit of a chat with Alir about, you know.
And could be back on the park in 4 weeks, Alir. Another guy, 19 disposals, Dan Robinson played, and I caught up with him yesterday to get his thoughts on the match. So we faced the Giants again twice in about 4 weeks, Dan. How'd you find them this time?
Yeah, I think as a group it was a massive improvement. They really gave us a lesson last time we played them. So it was an improved performance, but there's still things that we can work on and get better for next time.
Yeah, a few of the boys that stood out. Harry Cunningham, obviously back in the twos this last week. How did you see his game?
Yeah, I thought he played a solid game. He spread around out from the stoppages, and his work rate and hit in the stoppages was good. And obviously his voice coming back from the seniors was a massive help for the younger boys.
And Dean Towers, obviously a couple of goals from him.
Yeah, he was lively up forward. I think all our half forwards have things to work on with their halfbacks. Well, gave them a lot of run, but Dean definitely was busy and gave us an option up there.
Anyone else that impressed? What about yourself as well?
I thought Jack Hiscox's run was really impressive, especially in the fourth. He really gave us an option out on the spread.
I think he kicked three goals as well.
Yeah, I think he could have had a couple of others as well. So his run and his work rate was impressive. The rucks competed well all day and gave us a good look, both in the air and at the contests. And personally, I thought I was a bit down on previous weeks. I've been focusing on intensity around the ball. I thought I still brought that, but probably needed to take a few more chances.
Now, we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks, but having the likes of the three big men, the likes of Sammy Naismith, Toby Nankervis, and Tom Derricks in there as well, to have three big guys like that, changing through the ruck, down forward, and obviously one floating back. I mean, how crucial are those guys?
Yeah, massively important to our structure, giving us options when we're stuck with our ball movement and you know, when you've got three big blokes like that, it's hard to match up on for any team. So it gives us opportunities to create mismatches in our forward line, and they've been going forward, taking grabs and kicking goals. So it's been fantastic.
Three wins and two losses now. How have you seen the side's form overall?
I think we've been improving each week. Gold Coast game has probably been the peak of where we played. We played a good half against Sydney Uni. I think we improved against GWS, but obviously have things to work on. But compared to our early pre-season form, we've definitely improved. And the group is really gelling, I think, a lot more, especially as we head into the later parts of the season.
Now, talk about pre-season. I was walking to get some lunch on Monday, and I did see a few of you boys running around with the heart rate monitors on, doing laps of Centennial Parklands. That's a bit rough, isn't it?
I think it's, I thought it was a bit rough. It's usually a recovery run on a Monday morning, but I think it's just so they can keep track of what we're doing, so they're not overcooking us for later in the week. So, it's all right.
Didn't do enough on the weekend.
Yeah.
Not enough miles in the legs on Saturday.
I guess that's what some of the boys are thinking, but no, it's more just a monitor thing.
So we look forward to round 7, and the Sydney Swans will take on the Geelong Cats this Saturday night at ANZ Stadium. 7:20 is the scheduled time for the first bounce for any Swans fans planning on getting out there. Both teams coming off a win. The Cats bouncing back, big win against the Pies on the Friday night. But an exciting game. Both very, very strong clubs over the past 5 to 10 years. Both enjoying premiership success during that period.
And have played some epic battles out at ANZ Stadium. Both teams, and it should be a really good contest, I think. If the Cats can bring the same form that they showed against Collingwood on Friday night, Sydney will have to be on their toes. And John Longmire, in the press conference on Monday, did say that we're going to have to be at our best to combat the Cats, who he said were back to their brilliant best on Friday.
One important thing that we must mention before that game is Jared McVeigh. He'll be celebrating his 250th game of AFL. He's the co-captain of the footy club. You spend your days around the Sydney Swans HQ. What is Jared like? Is he a presence as he walks the corridor? Give us a bit of an insight into what Jared's like around the footy club.
He's certainly a presence. I'll give him that. I think coming into a club, knowing the sort of player Jared has been over his time, he doesn't intimidate, but he just has that, he demands respect, and he's such a nice guy too. He's very approachable, which I think makes him an even better captain. And he's so open to and willing to do all sorts of stuff for us media gurus. So, yeah, he's just a cracking guy, and I think he's on field, and he's still got it too. Off half back last weekend.
He's the quarterback.
He was in superb form. Another milestone. Gary Rowan plays his 50th game on Saturday. Now, what a story for Gary Rowan. What a journey for him it's been, obviously, coming off a, what could have almost been a career-ending broken leg.
Well, what was a rule-changing injury for the AFL after the Gary Rowan incident? They actually implemented the sliding rule, which, there's been a lot of conjecture around the rule, the idea that players aren't allowed to dive in at the legs of an opponent who's around the footy.
Chasing the footy, yeah.
Absolutely. But, it showed the severity and the significance of Gary Rowan's injury. And you mentioned the fact that Redheads unite, but I think the Sydney Swans, for the last couple of years, every pre-season preview I read from the Swans where they asked the players who they thought was in for a breakout year or who they thought was the most exciting player at the footy club, almost unanimously, the answer was Gary Rowan. So the potential has been there and has been acknowledged by the Sydney Swans Footy Club for quite a while. And it's great to see him. He really, when he takes off at full tilt, when he jumps at the footy, he is one of the most exciting players getting around the Sydney Swans Footy Club. It's great to see him full flight.
And his forward pressure, his defensive pressure is second to none as well.
Luke, that's all we've got time for today on Swanscast. Sydney Swans fans, if you are getting out to the game this Saturday night, make sure you get out there and show your support to both Gary Rowan, playing his 50th, and Jared McVeigh in his 250th. They are taking on the Swans at ANZ Stadium. 7:20 is the scheduled start time for that match. Get out there and enjoy your football. And Luke, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Flanners. Swans will go in.